When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
We got a busy first hour. We had a lot of calls. We started with Chris Vanini talking about the situation with the CFP. That really doesn't seem to be much of a debate anymore now that that has settled. But the big story really in college football has become the ACC. What happens to them next? More activity in the courts today. Let's get back to the calls right now. And Michael is in Kentucky. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
We're doing great. Thank you.
I'm here to talk about the new coach, Mark Pope, and I hope that he's a really good coach. But do you think he has a sense of feel being back in Kentucky and that he can be the greatest coach of Kentucky of all time?
Well, first of all, I don't think anybody is trying to be the greatest coach in Kentucky of all time when you've already had Adolph Rupp and Rick Pitino, people like that. I think what he's trying to do is get them another championship. It was a bizarre choice, but I think it was a very wise choice by Mitch Barnhart. He struck out on a few of the big names that he went after, about three of them. And he decided, I believe, do I bring in just another coach or do I bring someone that we can rally around? And I firmly believe after watching the first couple of days of Mark Pope and ultimately in seeing what he did at Rupp Arena and talking to him the other day that he will fit that bill very well. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Good to have you on. And Randy is up next in Georgia. Hey, Randy.
Hey, Paul. I got a comment and a question.
Okay, sure.
All right, my comment is, and ain't nobody in this world can do what you do as well as you do it. In my opinion, you are a unique person in the sports broadcast. Having said that,
well, thank you.
I knew you probably heard that before, but I had to say it again. I believe that. But anyway, on this NIL stands for Name, Image, and Likeness, right? And what started?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Name, Image, and Likeness.
All right. When I first started hearing it, they were talking about the colleges, universities making all this money off the NIL of the players. And the players figured they ought to get some of the money. And what happened to that? It got us to where we are now. They are. With all this money, that's got to be donated by these millionaires. I mean, why can't you players get a percentage of what they sell, university.
Yeah, Randy, where we are today, a couple of years after it started, 3 years to be exact, is not exactly where we intended it to be, but they kept moving, as they say, the goalposts. Thank you for the call, by the way, and thank you for the compliment. The real issue is not even what the players make, because there is a certain degree of regulation in that. It's what happens when these players threaten to leave places and then be signed by another school. That's where the so-called free agency money exists right now. Let's check in with Curtis, who is in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Curtis. Curtis, you there? No, you're not. How about Donnie next in Mississippi? Hey, Donnie.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We are doing well. Thank you for checking in.
Oh, absolutely. First time, long time, man. I'm a big Mississippi State fan, and I'm just checking to see what you think about Coach Lebby's team if we got enough to actually compete in the SEC West, or we still going to be getting dumped like we have been in the years past. I'm gonna hang up and listen to you on the radio, if that's all right.
Yeah, thank you very much. I tell you, we have a couple of guys on later who have, I think one of them has been to Mississippi State and saw the game, so I may lean on him a little bit. I mean, I am not trying to be a negative Nelly here, but I have not heard a lot to make me believe that this is going to be a contending team in Levy's first year. He's certainly got some talent, but I don't think enough to compete with the schedule that he has. And you look at the schedule, the second game is at Arizona State. They just had a coaching change, but they were pretty good last year. In fact, they were very good, nearly beat State in Starkville. That Florida game becomes critical. That's a game that you have to win and maybe try to get off to a 3-1 start. At Texas, no way you're going to win that game. No way you're going to beat Georgia. So you have to try to survive the first six games at 4-2. And if you lose to Arizona State, then you're 3-3. You got A&M at home. That's a 50-50 game. You have Arkansas at home. You probably win that one. At Tennessee, that's a loss. And then Missouri, I think, becomes maybe the most critical game on the schedule, because that could determine whether you get over the hump and get to a bowl game or not. The schedule isn't impossible. I mean, Texas and Georgia, you only have probably the number 1 and 3 teams in the country there. But there's no Alabama, which is the first time we've seen that in a long time, at Tennessee. But I think there are two or three games that just State has to win to have a respectable season under Levy in his first year. Mike is up next. Hey, Mike, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I caddied for Hubert Green in the 1978 Boswell tournament.
Oh, really?
And we actually played through Bear Bryant, and it was quite a trip. You know, he was signing autographs on number 14, and we played through, and Hubert was. He was really firing through.
So Mike, was this at Old River Chase? Is that where the tournament was?
This was at River Chase Country Club, number 14. We played through Coach Bryant, and we came up on him, and there was a line of people at the green, about 15 people, and they were sending them down one by one. He was about 60 feet off the hole there, and finally we got to play through, and like I say, He talked with Hubert for a minute, and then he looked over at us. He acknowledged everybody in our group, and my impression of him was that he was just working his tail off, and he was always available for everybody, and he was treating everybody equally. And it was just a day I'll never forget. But I worked for Jim Martin, who you're familiar with, I'm sure.
Legendary.
He was my boss, and he was telling me, now, Mike, this – clubs that Hubert has on this day, he's got a calamity putter, and he's got a 3-wood, and he's got a pitching wedge. Those are the only three clubs he was using, but he ended up shooting a 69 that day, and he was, every hole, the people we were playing with, millionaires, and every hole there was, to give you an example, we were playing with Hal Raines, Gary Drummond, and Tom Rast.
Oh, yeah.
So every hole, man, they were saying, like, they were warming up and swinging, and this one guy was going, $100, screaming it out, man. It was unbelievable. And Hubert would look over at him. He never said a word. He would just pitch the brim of his hat down and back up. It was all sign language. But he picked up a lot of money that day for the charity tournament. And what I wanted to ask you was, I've heard the Calamity putter was worth $1 million, the original one. I just wanted to get your comments about that and the history of the Calamity putter.
Yeah, no, I do remember it, but I don't remember the value. I tell you something about what you just said. I know a lot of those people well. I spent not long before, about 10 years ago, I spent the day with Hubert Green taping somewhat of a documentary on him, and it was fascinating to spend the day with him. But the guy you mentioned that I want to talk about is Charlie Boswell, who a lot of folks don't know, but is truly one of the most remarkable people I've ever met. Charlie was a football player at Alabama. He lost his eyesight in World War II and later became the number one blind golfer in the country. And somewhere along the way, he struck up a friendship with Bob Hope, and that's how Hope would come to that tournament every year and play with Bryant and really raise a lot of money. But that was really before my time in Birmingham, but I got there as that tournament was ending, but I got to become very close friends with Charlie. Did you ever spend any time around Charlie, Mike? I assume you did.
Yes, sir. Jim Martin introduced me to him, and he was really remarkable. And I even saw him at a hockey game, Birmingham Bulls hockey game once, and got to introduce one of my associates to him. And he was real approachable and kind of a nice guy. But I was going to say, when we were right before we teed off, we were putting over on the putting green. I was told to stand by Hubert Green's clubs and not to let anybody handle the clubs because, you know, even though it was a celebrity tournament, and guess who asked me to come over, and I had to check him off. You know, I couldn't go over there to him. It was Bob Hope, and I looked over at Hubert. He checked me and said, no, don't go over there right now. So I had to wave at Bob Hope and say, no, thank you. I can't come over right now, sir. And he got kind of frustrated, Hope did. And somebody said from the gallery, you know, well, he's a receiver. Hope said, who is that guy talking about me? And I just sat there, and I didn't know what to do. But I was just 21 years old. But anyway, he looked over towards me. Somebody said, he's a receiver. It was one of my football friends. And Bob Hope, he looked at me and said, are you a receiver? I said, yes, sir. He took that club. He dipped it down once, twice, three times. And the third time, he flipped it up in the air. It seemed like it went a mile high. And I finally backed up and caught it, and I got a cheer. But it was a day I'll never forget, Paul. And I really appreciate you sharing it with me and allowing me to be on the program.
Well, thank you, Mike. I think this is right, but it's been a long time. Bob Hope, who I don't probably need to explain to some people who he was, but in his day, he was the most famous comedian in the world. He and Charlie Boswell, the blind golfer, had this bit they would do. They would stand up in front of the audience at his tournament and talk about playing each other in a match. And Hope would say, okay, what are the stakes, Charlie? So, well, you name the course and I'll name the time. And Bob would say, my course out in Palm Desert. And Charlie would say, we'll play at midnight. Which really broke everybody up, considering, to be the best golfer in the, I have been around Charlie on the golf course, and I can't play with decent eyesight. This guy was insanely good, not being able to see anything. He had somebody line his ball up, and I think that's the only help he ever had. I would see him at Augusta every year, and he literally, I would be walking up, and he knew it was me. He had these just incredible instincts on knowing people's mannerisms and walking. And he would always, first thing he would say, he'd say, it's good to see you. And I just thought how weird that is, a blind man. But he was the most engaging guy. One of the final times I saw him, there was a party. There would be a Super Bowl party every year. And you ever been to Randy, a Super Bowl party with a blind man? It's a workout. I would walk in, Charlie would say, sit down, and for the next 3 hours, I had to do play-by-play, because the sound was usually down. You couldn't hear it because everybody was at the party. Anyway, a short break. We'll be back. More of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We work our way through the second hour. Legend is next.
What's going on, my blackhead brother? What's going on, brother?
Hey, Legend.
I just thought I'd stop by the Fine Bomb house, make sure you ain't gave my room away or anything.
No, you're good.
Man, you ain't never going to guess what happened today, Paul. I was on my way to do a TV segment with the great Tony Curry, the great TKR radio man, and my car broke down. Now I can't make the show. Man, I'm in panic. Who can I call? Who can I call? Suddenly my phone rang and I look down and AJ is calling me.
AJ called.
AJ is calling me. So I answer the phone. I tell him what's going on. AJ dropped what he was doing, came, picked me up, got my car to the garage, got me to the TV station on time. And I just have to say, Paul, this is hope for world peace right here. When an Auburn man, will come help an Alabama man, Paul, don't you think that's a sign of world peace right there, brother? Don't you think?
I mean, I'm trying to think if AJ's ever done anything good in his life other than what he did today.
Man, he did something good today, man. I even gave him 30 seconds on the show. He went off on Jim, too. He said he wanted it on national TV.
Okay, I wonder, since we won't see this show for a couple of days, can you give us a preview?
Well, he went off on Jim, said he wanted it on national TV, that he thought Jim was a big old turd. I said, oh, Lord, Jim's name done got in the legend game. I can't take it. No, not that name. Let me say this, Paul. Don't you think man rule number one is you never ask a beautiful woman how old she is? Don't you think that's man rule number one?
Never.
Never. And anybody that does is a complete moron. A complete moron. Hey, and I have to say, Alyssa, like, she did great. I start to call in, but every time I call in and you got a guess, I mess it up. I call Magoo Marty. So I said, man, if I call in, I'm going to call her Melissa or something. You're the only person I remember. My mind may be gone, man, but I think when I'm 100 years old, I'm going to be mumbling fun boom, fun boom. I'm about to choke, man. Hey, my aunt said that you are the Larry David of sports radio. Do you take that as a compliment?
Anything connected to Larry David would be considered a compliment.
Yeah, I think so, man. I love me some Larry David. I've been checking out some Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah, no, he's a genius.
Right there is off the hook, man. Hey, in classic Larry David style, are you mad at Mark Pope that he shaves his head as a bald man?
You know, I've been down that road before, Legend, and I did shave it one time. And it was scary.
It was scary. I heard old Larry Davis said that Peter, you know, he gets pissed off when he sees a man with hair shave his head bald like he's a swimmer. As
no,
a
I mean, I, it was about it was about right before we came on TV here. I don't know. I just decided to do it. Barkley's the one that talked me into it. He found me one day and started saying, "You can't, you know, get rid of that hair." So I did. And I walked in my house, and my wife doesn't curse, and I swear I've never heard such language out of her in my life. She went like, She was in shock.
What did it look like? You look funny. You look
I didn't look. I'll try to say this gingerly because I know a lot of people are having a hard time right now. That I did not look healthy. Let me put it that way.
Oh, that's hilarious, man. But if I was a bald man, it would piss me off that people with hair shaved their head like that. Hey, I heard Kentucky fans say that Mark Pope gets it. Ain't that their big thing, Paul? He gets it. Ain't that it? Well, let me say this. Mike Shula got it.
Hey, by the way, so did Dubose.
Yeah.
Now what Dubose was getting wasn't exactly getting it, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, he got it. Yeah, I think you made a big mistake, Kentucky. You ain't got nothing but a Mike Shula basketball, and I like Kentucky, but I think you made a big mistake. You got a man that ain't a bald man trying to be a bald man, trying to be a coach. It ain't going to work out. Hey, Paul, you know, I got some sources inside the coach draft room there, and I hear they're going to try to make a move up and get Brock Bowers tonight. I would really love to see what coach do that. I had pulled so hard for a Georgia Bulldog in all my life, man. I'm pulling for the Bulldogs tonight, man. If you could put Anthony Richardson with Brock Bowers and Jonathan Taylor and Michael Pittman Jr., whoo! We got something going on in Blue Horseshoe Nation. Make that move tonight, old Chris Bauer. Do something. And hey, Paul, all the rumor is that J.J. McCartney going in the top five tonight. I think that's the craziest thing I ever heard in my life. You believe that's going to happen?
I don't believe it. I don't even know why he's even rumored to be going in the first round.
Yeah, I don't get it, man. They got him ahead of Drake May. And hey, did I see on YouTube that there's a five bomb mock draft out? Did I see that?
I did it kicking and screaming. Mina Kimes asked me to be on her podcast, and I said, hey, Mina, I don't know anything about this, and I'm not going to know, so if you still want me. And so we basically just had fun, and I refused to watch it. There was no way I was going to watch myself talking about the draft.
Yeah, I think I love the draft, man, but I really hope the Colts get Brock Bowers tonight. I think McCartney, well, I think the Vikings will move up and get McCartney. They see him as another Tom Brady. I see him as another Alex Sanchez myself, but that's just me. Hey, Paul, when you talk to John from Missouri again, you reckon you could get him to reach out to Ronnie Van Zant for me? You reckon you could get him?
He has worked out a deal with Ronnie to do the new Feinbaum theme song.
Oh, that would be awesome, man. I've been working on a Skinner song for 10 years, and I just can't figure out a bridge to it. I could get John to reach out to Van Zant. Man, that would be awesome, John, if you could get a word back on that there.
He's working on, if he can't get Van Zant, he's going to get Buddy Holly.
Oh, that would be awesome, man. That would be awesome right there. And let me tell you something, John, from Missouri. Let me tell you something, dude. You think you want to call this show every day three or four times in the final hour? Who do you think you are, that 80-year-old moron, Jim? Man, come on. Nobody wants to hear from your sorry ass two or three times in the last hour every day. And you couldn't carry a squirrel's nutsack, dude. You couldn't do it, man. Talking about throwing somebody off the Tallahassee Bridge or whatever the hell you saying. Won't you wake the hell up and smell the coffee before the black hat rains down on your ass and beat your ass like your ass should have been beat years ago so you wouldn't be so damn stupid the way you are now? You ain't no damn Hall of Fame caller. Call one time a day and not three or four times. We don't want to hear your boring ass three or four times a day. Get it in one call or don't get it at all. But do me a favor. Reach out to Ronnie for me and see if you can get a hold of it.
Well, I'll do that.
Paul, if I go, brother, they say the show ain't what it used to be. But I know one thing. We never had a person talking to dead people before. I think that's pretty damn famous, brother. Pretty damn famous. Brock Bowers, Georgia Bulldog. Come on home to the coach, baby. Legend has left the building.
Jim is next.
He is the closest thing. I'm not calling him a fool. I don't know if he's a, I don't think he's a Christian, but he's the closest thing to a fool I've ever heard on your show. He's a sorry, no good, rotten, unloving, shows no evidence. If he had to show evidence to be arrested, to be a Christian, I don't see any evidence, Paul. None whatsoever. That scumbag, that's what he is. He's the lowest life you've ever had on the show, and I say that with godly authority. I believe it with all my heart. I sense it. I have a discernment about him. I discern that he's evil, wicked, demon-filled evil. Look how he talks about people. What kind of Christian would talk about people like he does? He attacks everything in sight. He's an evil creature, Paul. You got my word on that. I know that for a fact. That's all I got to say. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We are heading to the break just in time. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This baseball game tomorrow night, the Gators taking on the number two ranked Razorbacks, 8 p.m., excuse me. Squirrel is up next. Hey, Squirrel.
You know, a few minutes ago was a classic example of a good call and then a call that sucked. You know, Legend had a very entertaining call, and then your number one leg humper come in there and his calls suck, basically. But I appreciate Legend having my back. I heard John's comments the past few days. I've been down in the Chandelier Islands doing some fishing past couple days, Paul.
That sounds like a nice time.
Oh, it's, you ever been down that way? It's beautiful down that way. It's like being in the Caribbean and you're still in Louisiana / Mississippi. But I've been listening to all the chatter. And see, I can't even get mad at John when he talks that, because when John talks, it's like clown chatter. I mean, all I can do is chuckle and laugh. He's not going to throw anybody off the bridge. And how can you get angry at something like that? And speaking of angry, I'm almost sick of Jim claiming the religious high ground all the time. I mean, it's really getting nauseating, calling in, trying to out-Christian all the other callers or be super Christian. I mean, it's just really, really getting nauseating, and I wish he'd stop. The first time I knew Jim was crazy. I mean, legitimately crazy was when he was talking to me, and he was talking about how God spoke to him one time, and I specifically asked him. I said, Jim, did he speak to you like in a thought or an idea or something like that? He said, Squirrel, he said, God spoke to me in a voice just like me and you are speaking right now. And like I said, when people hallucinate about hearing voices in a religious context, they're religious zealous. And that just scares me. And it's kind of creepy. And Jim, you're being kind of creepy with the religious thing, and I'm asking you to back off. And I also agree with Legend. John, please quit calling 3 or 4 times at last hour. It's like you're in junior high school, dude. And it's, you know, just a few things that can maybe help the show be a little better. Jim needs to straighten his act up, and John needs to clam it up. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you for the critique. Michael is up next. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul.
Hey there.
Hey, I just want to ask you. I just need to ask you a question. Is how do you answer these calls for 4 hours and not ever get upset?
Well, I really, this is fun for me. I mean, everybody has their own entertainment. To me, this is my entertainment every afternoon.
Yeah, really, I believe it too, because one time I asked you, what were you going to do when you retire? And I know what you're going to do. You're going to answer the phone, man.
Yeah, no, I am going to go down to a telemarketing center and just make phone calls all day long. Now, I mean, Michael, we interview a lot of really important people and informative people, and it doesn't matter who they are. But this is to me the enjoyment, because it doesn't. I mean, these are. I don't think you can find this anywhere else.
Well, I was just listening to a guy, Jim, man, and you know he's shouldn't say this, but a disgrace to Tuscaloosa for talking like he does, but. I mean, I know you do really good, I promise you. And I really appreciate you accepting my call, man. And you really do enjoy this. I do believe that.
Well, thank you very much for calling, Michael. You be well. Bubba is up next.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, Bubba.
How you doing?
We are doing well.
Okay, first of all, I know your callers may not want to listen to a paranoid schizophrenic, but I think I got a couple of points to make today. John had called you a couple of days ago about Ode to Billy Joe.
Oh, yeah.
And I wanted to let him know Bobby Gentry told everything in her movie about the song. She was a consultant for the movie about Ode to Billy Joe.
What's it really all about?
Okay. When we were kids and heard the song in the 50s and 60s, I guess,
yeah,
we all thought she threw a baby off the bridge, yeah, and Billy Joe couldn't handle it, committed suicide. That's not it. What the movie showed that she was consulting for, he was boyfriend and girlfriend with the girl, and he had a sexual encounter at a fair with a man who seduced him. And he was so scared that he was homosexual, he couldn't handle it. And he talked to the girl on the bridge about it. And then he committed suicide by jumping off the bridge. That's what Ode to Billy Joe's about, according to Bobby Gentry.
Okay. Well, I am glad to know that after about 50 years.
Yeah, I know. It's a long time. I got a second point, and that has to do with one of your callers who always calls people devils and they're going to hell. I know I'm a sinner, but I saw on YouTube when I saw up Alabama stuff, I saw a black preacher who had a heading that said there's only one sin that is unforgivable. And he gave you the verse in the Bible. I looked it up, and that's what it says. The only sin that's unforgivable is blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. People who kill people can be forgiven. People who commit adultery can be forgiven. And let Jim know that everybody's forgiven if they ask for it and mean it, except for blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. And I'll let you go now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Thank you very much for the clarification. We head to the break on that note. A lot of draft coverage in the final 2 hours. We're back right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
We are back, and AC joins us next.
Mr. Feinbaum, sir, how you feeling? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Thank you.
Absolutely. I have a question for you. Since the NFL draft is tonight, who would you pick as your top five callers on your draft? If you were to draft 5 o'clock this evening, who would you select? Your top five. Give it to me.
Well, you see, I'm curious who you think, because you're more of a neutral observer than I am, being the host.
I was going to ask the host, because you've been listening to your callers more than AC. Sure. My top five would be whoever embraces hate. They're in my top five. What about you, Mr. Feinbaum?
AC, I don't think that's probably the best way to run the show, but we're always in your debt for bringing a level of insanity to the show. Joe is in Texas, so hello, Joe.
How you doing, Mr. Feinbaum?
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Joe. I'm doing all right.
Good.
I was wondering, what do you think? I went to the spring game this last Saturday, and Arch played his ass off, and Quinn really did not do that much. So I was wondering what you're thinking about how that's going to play out this season.
Well, you have to think about a couple of things here, Joe. Sark clearly wanted to see 2 and 3 play more than he wanted to see Quinn Ewers. He knew what Ewers is capable of. So I think he featured Arch and the backup and the number three guy. And I don't think it means anything. I think it means that Arch Manning is exactly who we thought he was going to be, a top quarterback. And in the event that he is needed, he will be ready. But I think Quinn Ewers is one of the best quarterbacks in the entire country. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Ricky is up next in Montgomery, Alabama.
I'm next.
Hey, Ricky.
Hey, Paul, you there?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was listening to you earlier, and you kept saying it's just Georgia and Texas at the top, and you keep leaving Alabama out. I was just wondering, get your thoughts on that and see what you got on that one.
Ricky, I think Georgia and Texas are the two best teams in the SEC. I think Alabama is probably third, but I don't think I think it's a close call, but I don't think they're quite in Georgia's league, nor do I think they're quite in Texas's league. I mean, we're talking about Alabama as the third best team in the SEC starting the season. That means they're probably about the fifth best team in the country.
So you think they still got it?
Yeah, but I have a few question marks.
I got you. I was just wanting to get your thoughts. You just kept leaving them out there. I was like, well, I wonder why Paul just doesn't like them anymore.
That's not it, Ricky. And I think they're, I don't think it's clear cut either, not to make you any unhappier than you are. But I think Alabama is lumped in with a group, Ole Miss, Missouri, LSU, Tennessee. I think they're at the high end of that group, but we're talking one game difference between being in the playoffs from the SEC or not. This is, it will take a while for everyone to get past the fact we're no longer in divisions. Getting to the SEC championship game matters, but it's not as important as it would have been before the playoff arrived. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Rick is in Houston. Hello, Rick.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. So I got to ask you a question. Do you think it's possible that you can watch too much of the Paul Feinbaum show?
I don't really think that's possible. Do you, Randy? No, I don't think there's any. I don't think you can watch this show in excess.
Well, Paul, I'm kind of worried, Paul, because last night, drifted off to sleep and settled into a nice REM sleep, and all of a sudden, started having a dream / nightmare, and in this dream / nightmare, I'm watching the show, Paul, and John from St. Louis calls in, Paul. And, typical fashion, John starts talking about wanting to put someone in a box, Paul. And, Paul, this
hey, Rick,
time...
let me interrupt just one second here. You were not dreaming. You were probably watching the replay of the show.
Well Paul, trust me, it was a dream or nightmare. But he's talking about wanting to put somebody in a box, Paul. Wanting to put him in a glass box, Paul. Paul, and it wasn't just any regular glass box. It was a hot glass box, Paul. In fact, it was a sauna. And the person he wanted to put in the sauna, Paul, was Coach Drink. And he wanted to be in the box with Coach Drink. Paul, and, you know, John's getting all revved up about Coach Drink, and he's sitting there and wrapped up in only their towels. And thank God, Paul, about that time's when I woke up.
I'm glad you woke up, Rick, because that's the kind of dream that probably could have killed you. Thanks for the call. Bud is up next. Hey, Bud. Actually, let me check in with Willie next in Georgia. Hey, Willie.
Hello, this is Willie, the sports interviewer in the day on radio station WOODS. I'm going to be interviewing the star fullback for the Steubenville Studs, Bruiser LaRue. Oh, hi, Willie. I love your coupling. Bruiser, last night you were sensational. You rushed for 214 yards, caught 3 touchdown passes, and picked up 2 fumbles. And a sailor. A sailor? Yes, you know, yo-ho, blow the man. Well, Bruiser, how did you get started in football? Well, I got started playing kick the cans in my mother's high-heel shoes. And then I got to grade school, and which was touch football. Oh, a game I dearly loved. Oh, if I knew then what I know now. And then I got to junior varsity, which had all the cheers. And
I didn't realize Letters Losers had come back. Anyway, we are heading to the break here. 2 more hours to go. Stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.